Today we are beginning our summer preaching series entitled Great Stories in Genesis. I know how much you enjoyed the Believe series, but we're just going to put that on pause here over the summer months and come back and pick up those final 10 weeks here in September, starting in September. But over this next several months, we'll be looking at some of these wonderful stories that we find in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And we begin today with Genesis chapter 1 for a message entitled The Creation. As we begin today, I want you to think about the most beautiful place you have ever been. Think of the most picturesque scene, whether it was a mountaintop experience or an ocean or perhaps a garden. And we're going to scroll some pictures to sort of spark your imagination a little bit and try and think of that most beautiful place that you've ever been, and what comes to mind. Ruth and I have always loved the beach, and we enjoy watching the sunset over the Sound down at the Outer Banks, and that has always been special to us. But there have been other places too, like Niagara Falls or the Grand Canyon, or the mountains have a beauty we appreciate as well. So I want you to get that image in your head of that most beautiful place. Kind of put yourself there for a moment. What comes to mind? What do you think of when you see something like that? What comes to mind for me is how beautiful our world is and how awesome our God as Creator is. There is a tremendous beauty that is all around us. Just look at the day that God has presented to us, to how beautiful this day is. Blue sky, warm weather. We are surrounded every day by the beauty of creation. And when I see that most picturesque scene, or I'm watching that sunset over the Sound down the Outer Banks, you know what I'm thinking of? We have a wonderful God who's a masterful creator. And he's given us this beautiful world to enjoy. In our Belief series, we affirm that the Bible is true and can be trusted. And in Genesis chapter 1, we have the story. The story of our amazing God creating not only this beautiful earth, but everything we can see and not see. And with creation, our master artist says, with each act of creation, he says, it is good. It is good. So let's read this account of the creation in Genesis chapter 1 for the first message in our Great Stories in Genesis series. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear," and so it was. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let there be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and night, to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." And so God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems and moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water and the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. There was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that we may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Last summer, we did a Wednesday evening Bible study looking at the book of Genesis and really looking at the creation story particularly. And one of the great teachings that came out of that study was how organized and how orchestrated God's creation is. In other words, God created things in their proper time and sequence, as opposed to the alternate theories of our origins, which suggest big bangs and chance. Genesis 1 summarizes well the orderly and systematic creation of the heavens and the earth. Could you imagine for a moment, if we didn't have Genesis 1, that the Bible started with Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve and the story of the fall? Don't you think we'd have a whole lot of questions of how did this all come about? How did this earth get here? How did these people get here? But God has given us this wonderful summary, this wonderful account in Genesis chapter 1. And its purpose is not to answer all our questions. Because we still have questions like, was a day in Genesis chapter 1 a 24-hour day or not? And, you know, questions like, how could there be plants on day 3 and the sun and moon aren't created until day 4? You know, it's not the purpose of Genesis chapter 1 to answer every question. The summary, though, directly points back to God as a master designer who has created this beautiful world for us. The hymn we sang this morning, "This is my Father's world," is a tribute to our God as creator. That first stanza said, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought." So let us draw some conclusions from this beloved passage, Genesis chapter 1. And our first point today is simply this, is that God and God alone created all things. God and God alone created all things. The very first verse of Scripture says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Creation starts with God, and God is the one who is doing the creating. Genesis 1 gives us an overview of what God has created. We see God creating living things, plants and animals, humanity, as well as non-living things, heaven and earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, to give light and mark the passage of time and so forth. Now you have to keep in mind that the people of Israel, when they were coming together as a people and trying to follow God, they were dealing with cultures all around them that believed that the origin of the earth was not from a creator God who developed it with precision and accuracy, but rather were the result of multiple gods and who were warring with one another. And so earth and man were created out of chaos and war between the gods. But the Israelite people have this account of God creating very orderly, very systematically, with tremendous care and precision. Not out of chaos. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 20 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth." And Paul says in Acts chapter 17, 24, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live by temples built by hands." In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." John, of course, is affirming the deity of Jesus and affirming that it is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are all very active in the creation of the world. God and God alone created all things. And despite our discoveries over the last thousands of years, and even our creations like artificial intelligence and such, it still all begins with God. He is the master designer. Creation is the work of God alone. He has created all things. But there's a second point we need to make, and that's this: that God is sovereign over His creation. God is sovereign over His creation. Sovereign means that God is in control, and He has been in control of things since the beginning of time. And God's sovereignty comes out so clearly in Genesis chapter 1. For example, in verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." In other words, God simply spoke, and it happened. That's the sovereignty of God, the fact that He is in control. Pattern is also seen in the creation of sky and dry land and plants and heavenly bodies and fish and birds and land animals and so forth. God's sovereignty is also seen in the naming of the parts of creation. For example, the statement, "God called the light day and the darkness He called night," is an example of the sovereignty of God. Last month, I had the opportunity to tour Glenn Eshelman's art collection with members of our Oaks ministry. Glenn, along with his wife, had founded Sight and Sound, and Glenn gave us a fabulous tour of what seemed to be about 100 paintings that he had done and completed. Beautiful paintings, some of them of Lancaster County, but many of them, probably most of them, were of great scenes from the Bible. And it was rather clear that Glenn is a very talented painter and artist. And when we asked him how long it took him to complete a painting, he said 3 to 6 months. But as talented as Glenn is, he has to work hard to create. He has to put in the time and the effort. And it just doesn't happen easily for him. Think about this. God spoke and things were created. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to speak and have a beautiful painting created? Glenn can't do that, as talented as he is. He has to put forth the effort. But God simply speaks and it is. It is created before us. That's the sovereignty of God. Think about it. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Everything was under His control. His very voice brought the heavens and earth and all we see into existence. But it was only the creation of man that God did something a little different. He didn't speak man into existence. He formed him from the dust of the earth. God took a hands-on approach when creating man, and He breathed His own breath into man. He didn't just speak and man was created. He took the hands-on approach. God is sovereign. He's in control. He didn't just create and walk away. He is still in control of everything He has created. And there's a third point we need to make as well. And that is this: that God created with wisdom and with order. He created with wisdom and with order. And that is clearly shown here in Genesis chapter 1. Because every time God created, at the end of the day, what did he say? He said it was good. 6 times he said it was good. And 1 time he said it was very good. That was, of course, after he created humanity in his own image. We also see in this gradual giving of structure to a universe that was what? Without form and void. And finally, the creation is presented as an order of ordered series of events. For example, the creation of spaces in the sky and in the sea before the animals were created. That shows a God of wisdom and order, that he created the places for these things to be, and then he created them to be. The orderly creations of the heaven and earth show that God is a God of order and wisdom. And you think about this beautiful world in which we live. There is tremendous order and wisdom in so many ways. Think about our own planet for a moment, where our earth is strategically located in reference to the sun. That we are just the right distance from the sun for life to be able to be sustained. That plants can grow. That the earth is millions of miles away from the sun, but yet at just the right distance to allow 8.3 billion people to live on the earth. And to have enough food and oxygen and water for all of them. God is a God of order and a God of wisdom, and his creation bears testimony to that. A Sunday school teacher was teaching a class of children about creation. The teacher said, "Now, children, who can tell us what makes the flower spring from the seed?" "God does it," answered one little girl, "but fertilizer helps." And our farmers would probably amen that girl's response a little bit. God's glorious handiwork can be seen in what he made through creation and animals that suffer under the curse. Think about it. He made the moon to orbit about 240,000 miles away. He made the sun to be over 100 times larger than the diameter of the earth. He made the stars. Isn't it wonderful on a clear night to go out and just look at all the stars in the sky? And see that beauty. And to know that the closest star, being Alpha Centauri, is still 25 trillion miles away. Think about that. And he made our galaxy that contains over 100 billion stars, nebula, and star clusters. And that's not even considering the other hundreds of billions of galaxies of stars. The immensity of the universe just boggles the mind. It's unimaginable. And God has made it all with tremendous order and with great wisdom. There's one final point we need to make, and it's this. God created man as the pinnacle of his creation. God created humanity, male and female, as the pinnacle of his creation. 6 times in Genesis 1, after God creates, he said it is good, but it is only after he creates man that he says it is very good. Genesis 1 teaches that man is the pinnacle of God's creation, created in his own image to serve as God's agent on earth. And this is in contrast to the pagan creation stories, because they had a very low view of man. But Genesis chapter 1 has a high view of man. Why? Because man is created in the image of God. But the other cultures of the day thought that man was just an afterthought, and its purpose was to do menial work that the gods did not want to do. See, friends, when God created man, he did so with great love, with tremendous love. He made man in his image from the dust of the earth. He breathed life into his nostrils. And if you think about it, the rest of the Bible is about God's story of relating to this creation, this beloved creation. The rest of the Bible, from Genesis 1 on, is about God relating to his humanity that he has created. You see, friends, humanity, male and female, are God's greatest creation. And Jesus didn't come to earth to die for animals. He came to earth to die for sinful humans, sinful humanity. His highest creation is what he calls his beloved. Think of all that God does for humanity in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He creates man in his image. He breathes the breath of life into him. He places him in a paradise in the Garden of Eden. Think of the paradise of the Garden of Eden. And here, that's where Adam and Eve are placed. We're going to talk about that a little more next week in our next great story in Genesis. And when Adam is deemed to be lonely, what does he do? He creates Eve in his own, in the image of God as well, and presents her to Adam. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in three persons, all active in the creation account of Genesis chapter 1. And God understands community because of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that's why he creates Eve, so that Adam would have someone else, would have community as well, just as he knows community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, friends, these principles over creation, these four points, they appear over and over again as we read through the Scriptures from Genesis 1 onward. Let me give you three takeaways from the message today. First of all, creation is true because God said so. Creation is true because God said so, and he is the ultimate authority on the subject. And because the Bible is true, we expect to see evidence of God's fingerprints all over his creation. Even the very building blocks of life, DNA, have the fingerprints of God all over it. The Creator revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, through his Word, the Bible. But we believe in creation because God said it was. And God is, we believe God to be true and what he says to be true. Second, science confirms the biblical account of creation. The Bible states that God made animals distinct and plants distinct. And so we observe genetic change today, but only within certain boundaries. In other words, the cat can only breed offspring within the cat kind. And so the Bible states that all humanity came from Adam and Eve. And genetics affirms that we are all of one race, the human race. So that science alone seems to support the creation by God of all things. The Bible states that there is a global flood. We'll talk about that story in a few weeks. As expected today, we see billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth, which is a powerful confirmation of the stories we read in Scripture. And lastly, the world doesn't make much sense without God. Think about that. The world just doesn't make much sense without God. There's no reason to believe in right or wrong if man is just rearranged chemicals. As the Creator, God has the right to make the rules. And a logical and all-knowing God made us in his image. And that's why we understand logic and knowledge. And that's why we can reason together. A logical God created our senses so that we can enjoy this beautiful world in which he's given to us. Of course, due to sin and the curse, people sometimes make logical errors, have problems with their senses and so forth. But God's word, which comes with the authority of God himself, is always right and the standard by which we can judge all matters. Let's face it, friends, if the universe came from nothing and we're just sort of here by accident, that we evolved from something else, wouldn't life seem a whole lot less meaningful, less purposeful? Why would we have laws of logic and so forth and science if we just sort of randomly appeared and are just existing independently of one another? Let's face it, friends, this world simply doesn't make sense without our God, who is the creator and sustainer of all things. It's as the hymn says, "This is my Father's world." So what does the creation story mean for us today as Christians and as humans? It's important to understand where we came from. Genesis 1 documents the origin of the cosmos and its surrounding heavenly sphere. It's also the beginning of humankind. It's the beginning of our relationship with God and one another and the planet which we inhabit. Belonging is a fundamental desire for each of us. And knowing that we play a part, perhaps in a very small part in this big picture, is important for all of us. It makes us significant. And that's what we are. We are loved. We are significant because of this wonderful Creator God. Knowing we were created, knowing the way we were created, also helps us to know ourselves better. We were planned. We were a part of God's creation. We're a part of God's plan. And we have a place in this world. We have a home because God created it, making sure it was good and perfect before He put us here. Through Jesus Christ, you have life, and that life started at the very origin of the earth. In our daily lives today, we can live a life of gratitude towards our Savior and our Creator. And even though sin has come into the world through our free choice, we can know that our Redeemer lives. And at last He will stand upon the earth, as Job 19:25 tells us. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." That one verse is a summary of Genesis chapter 1. This is indeed our Father's world. I want to close with a quote from a gentleman by the name of Brent Earls. And he writes this. He said, "The stars are God's fingerprints. The sun is a mere smidgen of His radiance. The moon is to remind us that He doesn't sleep at night. The vastness of space proclaims the infinity of His wisdom, while the sand pebble indicates His thoroughness with the puniest details. The lion hints at His fearlessness, the bear at His power, the hawk at His keen insight. And yet those possess only a tidbit of God's omnipotence and omnipresence. Every tree points towards heaven. Every bird has a song to sing. Every moment of wind goes in some direction. There is nothing chaotic about our beautiful designed world. All creation has a message to tell us. It says, listen, there is a God. There is a God. Indeed, there is. All creation sings praise to our God. And may we do so as well. To the praise of His glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful today. Thankful today for Genesis chapter 1, the creation. For we see so much in that story, that account, that reminds us that You are a wonderful God, a creative God, a God of wisdom and order, a God who is sovereign and in control over all things, and a God who has made this beautiful world and all that is in it. Father, we confess that too often we take for granted the beauty of this world that we're in. And so keep us ever mindful that we serve a God who is awesome, a God who is a creator, a God who is a sustainer, a God who is a redeemer through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your word to us today. May it resonate upon our hearts as we continue to worship You now. In Jesus' name, amen.